As I mentioned earlier, the sermon text this morning will not be from Romans 5 as printed in your bulletin. So I would invite you to take the outline from your bulletin and just tuck it into your Bible for next week. We'll come to that in due course. In light of the recent court decision and the Spirit's prompting, I felt compelled to preach this morning instead from Luke 18, the parable of the persistent widow. So if you will turn there with me, Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 1, and if you will stand as you're able in honor of the reading of God's word. Hear the word of the Lord. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Please be seated. Lord God, open our eyes this morning that we may behold wonderful things in your law. Amen. We might ask as we read this parable this morning, how does Christ encourage our perseverance in prayer? How does Christ encourage our perseverance in prayer? Some time ago, there was a young woman, a devout believer, very troubled over the souls of her husband and her son. Her husband resisted the gospel until his deathbed, when her prayers were answered and he received baptism. Her son was another matter. He was a very promising student and left home at a young age for the best education his father's money could buy. He traveled the world to learn and then to teach, and eventually settled down as a very successful and respected young professor in northern Italy. During this time, he even attended church for the express purpose of picking up women. He kept one of these women, though he did not marry her, and fathered a son out of wedlock. He also bandied about with various philosophies and joined a cult. Yet throughout these decades, his mother continued to pray. The mother's name was Monica. And at the age of 31, her son, Augustine, was converted through reading the book of Romans. Within the year, he and his son were baptized by the church father Ambrose. And Augustine himself went on to become a wonderful and courageous pastor and a gifted and influential theologian, and perhaps the most prolific author of the early centuries of the church. Beloved, discouragement in prayer is real. Sometimes the Lord seems to delay in answering. Our resolve falters. Doubts creep in. And perseverance is hard. But persistent widows are also real. And the judge with whom we have to do is not unjust. Let us consider this parable together and see how Jesus encourages us not to lose heart as we pray. The first thing we see in this parable is that Jesus names the things that discourage our prayers. Look with me at the parable. And see how he characterizes this judge. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. Beloved, we doubt the character of our God and find discouragement in prayer as we do. How often can we say from our own experience that we decline to pursue something because we do not expect a favorable outcome? If you're a child, perhaps one of your siblings has done something, even done something to you, but you don't tell anyone because you don't think anyone will believe you. Perhaps there's something troubling you at work, but you said nothing to HR because you do not believe that they will help. And how often have we heard that cynical, but perhaps not untrue, remark that human resources is there to protect the company, not the employee? Perhaps your insurance company has a reputation for denying claims or imposing retributive premium increases. Perhaps you confessed a weakness or a fault to a friend only to find that they used it against you. See the description of the judge as one who neither fears God nor respects man. And how often are we tempted to see God in a similar light? To let our experience of people shape our expectations of the Lord and his response to us. To regard his providence and watchful care as dubious or arbitrary, inattentive, or even malicious. Jesus will answer this directly in a moment. But for now, let us pause and recognize and confess this kind of doubt that haunts our views of God as Jesus sheds light on this in his parable. We do not just doubt God's character. We doubt that we will receive a hearing. In May of 1939, a ship named the St. Louis left Hamburg for Cuba, carrying over 900 passengers. Most of them were Jews hoping to find refuge from the Third Reich in the United States. But when they arrived, they found Cuban policies had changed and less than 30 were allowed to disembark. The U.S., far from intervening, sent out the Coast Guard to prevent them from docking in Miami. Eventually, the St. Louis returned to Europe instead. where 254 of its passengers perished in the Holocaust. This was hardly a unique or isolated event at the time. See how the judge persistently ignores the widow. This goes beyond the questioning of character that shapes our doubts. What if the Lord will not even hear us? What if he turns a deaf ear to our prayers? Will God be to us like this unjust judge? Will he be to us like Franklin Roosevelt, who denied asylum? Will he be like the leaders who tell the abuse victim that her suffering is not real or is the result of her own sin? Will he be to us like the irritated father who tells his frightened child that monsters are not real and sends them back to bed alone in the dark? Friend, do you let God's evident slowness appear to your soul as silence? Do you imagine that God declines even to hear your cry? Let us name this source of discouragement and bring it into the light of the gospel. Because this too will be answered by Jesus in turn. We also see in this passage those who doubt the benefit of persistence. Our culture is full of stories of plodding persistence. We may think of the little engine that could, or the lengthy and often discouraging work of William Wilberforce to end the slave trade in the British Empire. And yet we often find ourselves not up to the task. Consider the difference between a gym in January and a gym in February. Consider perhaps your own personal collection of home improvement or self-improvement projects that sit collecting dust. And what of times when we must pursue something with someone else? Never mind merely dealing with ourselves. If we are honest, most of us would have stopped long before the widow portrayed in this parable. We doubt the benefit of persistence. We doubt a desirable end. So we do not press on. Many of us may put our hand to the plow, but it is not long before we begin to look back. And this is another doubt that Jesus draws out into the light, even if it is by way of contrast with this character. So having considered the doubts that Jesus names in the parable and brings into the light of day, let us continue with Jesus as he answers them in the passage before us. And almost as though it is in reverse order, the first thing we see is the reward of perseverance. Jesus offers inducements to persevere. And the first he highlights is the reward of perseverance. Deliverance does come for God's people. Even the unjust judge rewards the widow's perseverance, but God is no unjust judge. Though his answer may not take the form of what we ask for. In the fall of 1955, Jim Elliot moved to Ecuador to try and make contact with the Guarani people and share the gospel with them. In January 1957, after making contact with the tribe, he and four others were murdered by them. We might ask why God allowed this and where justice is to be found. But in God's providence, through the perseverance of Jim's widow and Nate Saint's sister and others, the gospel was shared with the Waorani. The New Testament was translated into their language, and now there are many among them who know the Lord, including some of Jim Elliot's murderers. Beloved, God rewards persistence in prayer on behalf of his people. He is no unjust judge and does not give in simply to avoid being worn out by us. He expects and calls upon us to persevere in prayer, especially in prayer for justice on behalf of oppressed and persecuted believers. But he also rewards that persistence. Beloved, cry out to God day and night. God will answer that prayer. Jesus also offers an inducement to prayer in showing us the love of God for his elect. The characters in the parable are a distraught widow and an unjust judge. The judge has no love for the widow, and he shirks the duty of his office. He is moved only by her nagging persistence and the thought of what it might be like to have her irksome cries removed from his life by the swiftest and surest means possible. But this is not how God deals with us. We are called elect, chosen in this passage. We are identified as marked out by divine love to be a peculiar people to the Lord. Could he be cold to those he has chosen in love before the foundation of the world? Can he be deaf to those bought with the blood of the Son of God? There is something utterly amazing in a mother's love for her children. The way she selflessly sacrifices for them. And her heart melts at a cry. And God's love for his people is more. Hear what Isaiah says in chapter 49. He says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget. Yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." Beloved, we are encouraged to persevere in prayer because we have a judge who loves us. We have a further encouragement to prayer in that the answer will come certainly and speedily. This raises as many questions as it quiets. Because speedily, here, as Jesus says, does not have the sense of coming in our own timing or swiftly on the heels of our asking or according to the form of our request. Rather, there is a certainty that attaches to the answer and a suddenness or abruptness in the execution of God's justice. And this truth highlights a further contrast between God and the unjust judge. For the Lord's arm is strong to save his people. And he does bear it from time to time, destroying Egypt at the Red Sea, raising up judges to fight the Philistines, granting Israel a king in David, bringing the Messiah to bear away our sins, and reducing persecuting empires to their knees as they cry out to God for mercy. We are able to persist in prayer because, the one with whom we press our suit, despite our doubts, meets us with a readiness, a willingness to deliver his people from their afflictions and to grant them justice. Beloved, what do we do in light of these things but keep knocking? Keep knocking. The end of the parable is at its beginning. Jesus tells us, the narrator, Luke, tells us why Jesus tells this parable, to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Beloved, consider the rarity of persistence. As Jesus mentions specifically in this passage, nevertheless, in verse 8, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Jesus knows that we will struggle in this area. He offers direct encouragement, and yet he recognizes that persistence is rare. Will Jesus find us faithful when he returns? Brother, sister, will you keep knocking? Consider the great cloud of witnesses. The Lord has a long track record of answering the prayers of his saints. From the crossing of the Red Sea to the striking down of Roe versus Wade, he hears and answers the prayers of his people. Though he tarry for half a century, he will grant justice and relief in his time. Let that be an encouragement to keep knocking. And beloved, let us persist in prayer with the expectation of God's answer. Could it be that we miss answered prayer as often because we do not persist in it, as that we do not look for it? Let us continue in prayer with watching and with hope of an answer. Beloved, let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that through Christ you are a God who hears. You are a God who loves us, who delights to answer, who delivers from oppression and answers the cries of his children. Father, would you drive these truths deep into our hearts that we may be encouraged to persevere. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name.
I could ask those who are serving at the table to come forward. Beloved, you have heard tell this morning of God's readiness to hear and answer your cries, of his powerful arm that he will bear to deliver his people. The Lord is not just far off, at the other end of a long-distance phone call. Beloved, the Lord is near. He is near to us in his word, and he is near to us in this sacrament. And so I invite you, if you have put your faith in Christ, that in a moment you would come to Christ's table. If you have not put your faith in Christ, that you would ponder what it is that you are missing. That you would ask the Lord to quicken your heart, that you might turn to him and find mercy. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gathering of your people. We thank you that you hear and answer our prayers. As we draw near to you this morning, we pray that you would set apart these regular, ordinary things to a holy purpose. That we would feed on you in our hearts by faith this morning. And so find our faith to persevere in prayer strengthened as we leave. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, if you've put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then I ask you, Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, as I, ministering in his name, offer you this bread. And he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took also the cup, having given thanks as has been done in his name. He gave it to his disciples, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins. Drink from it, all of you. Beloved, would you come?